Real life stories of real life men. These are the many voices of the Brothers in Blue Reentry Program. Real voices. Welcome to this week's edition of Real Voices. This recording is one inmate sitting down to interview his fellow inmate. Asked are frank questions in want of real answers. Nothing sugarcoated, but at essence, real dialogue in hopes of glimpsing a moment in the life of one. His reality, his life, right or wrong, his story. This recording is meant for mature audiences only. The only editing done to this recording was to clarify statements or omit extraneous information that didn't serve the purpose of this recording, which is simply to offer vignettes of a life. Thank you for listening to Real Voices. Who doesn't like a feel-good story? Neatly wrapped up, complete with a happy ending that makes us all feel, well, good about ourselves, or just about life in general. Oh, it's easy to imagine countless of you listeners nodding your agreement. Yet, as much as we would like our outcomes to be as painless, as happy-go-lucky as possible, reality inevitably intrudes, upending our lives, leaving a mess for us to clean up. The hurried and simple fix for many of us is to sweep the mess underneath the proverbial rug, which translates for a few, avoiding the chaos of life through the use of illegal drugs. This is the route one inmate has chosen, which has brought him to prison, not once, but three times. This is not a happy story with a neat ending. Unable to cope in the real world, the world of ordinary existence, where people go to work daily, pay their bills, or just spend time with their kids, our soft-spoken, almost shy inmate believes, in contrast, that he can only be normal while incarcerated, that he can only be safe while locked away, and that his family will be safe from him because he's here, in prison. Caught in the spider web of addiction, this inmate has been incarcerated not once or twice, but this makes his third time he's been in prison because of his constant struggle with drugs. How did his life get to this point, where the only freedom he knows is in the freedom found in prison?
I guess we can go back to the beginning. I started doing drugs when I was 12, 13, it's been all downhill since then. But I think it all really started back when I was 5. My father went to prison for aggravated rape, and he got a life sentence. And I think since then, I've been doing really bad. I think a lot of depression had set in back then, and I'm just now realizing it now, how I can look back on my life and see how it's been up to this time, where I think a lot of it, when I was younger, I was always a loner, and always by myself, and I didn't like being around people. And then when I did start hanging around people, there was always 4 or 5 years older than I am, and so, the bad influences come in there. So at a young age, I'm getting bad influences there. And then I have a brother, and he's 5 years older than I am, and we never really got along, and he's always the popular one. So I was always left out, and I always strived to be like him because I wanted to have friends, but I never did. And that just, put me back to being by myself all the time. My mom remarried shortly after my father went to prison, and he was an alcoholic. So a lot of it, my mom was an alcoholic as well, but she's always working all the time to take care of us, and that mainly left me by myself again. So, I probably started smoking and drinking when I was 12, and along with the bad influences, the older crowds and stuff like that. And then once I I was probably about 14, 15. My girlfriend got pregnant, and I was about maybe almost 16 when I dropped out of school in ninth grade. Started working, and the first job I got, I just started hanging around the older guys, the bosses and supervisors, and I was always acting more mature because I'd grown up that way. So they accepted me, and I started going to the bars when I was probably about 15 or 16, and never had trouble getting in because I had facial hair. I guess I acted more mature than most guys my age back then. And them guys, the guys I'd worked with, they were doing drugs, you know, cocaine. And I tried it a couple times and felt like I fitted in, you know, because I did the drugs. And then they started doing crack, and once I started crack, it was all downhill from there. First treatment center was when I was 17, and then after that I started going to jail a lot because in order to fulfill my drug habit I had to steal to get it, and when I'd steal I never got caught doing anything, but I'd feel so bad about it that I'd always turn myself in, and been on probation, 18 and 19 probation, and I think at the age of 20, I went to a boot camp because I violated my probation. Completed that. And then shortly afterwards, I got out doing the drugs again. And since then, you know, I'm 34 now. And it's just been this pattern of addiction, a cycle of abuse. Every time I'd use, I'd end up back in jail or prison or treatment centers. And then I do well while I'm locked up, but it's when I'm released from somewhere that I start using again. The first time I went to prison, I did 2.5 years and stayed clean and sober. The same day I got out, went back doing the drugs. And then about half a year later, then I went back and did another 15 months in prison. And same day I got out, went back doing the drugs. I managed to stay out for about 5 years, and then got another burglary charge, and they gave me 10 years this time for that. Because of my criminal history, it kept building up, and they finally gave me 10 years for that. But I think the main reason I use is to cover up the emotions and the depression and all the feelings I don't want to feel. And when I'm on the inside, when I'm in treatment or detox or halfway houses or every place I've been since, I do fine, I do well. It's just when I leave those places that I end up using again. I think I do a lot of that because I want to be in these places, because I know once I'm in these places, I'm safe. Not only am I safe, but people out there, my loved ones and family and friends, they're safe because I'm locked up. So I don't know if I use because I know I'm going to get locked back up, or I don't know. But it's a pattern that I haven't been able to break yet. I think maybe I'm institutionalized, you know. I feel like I am. Because I do well when I'm locked up, you know, and you put drugs in front of me now and I won't use. Just something, I don't know, something about being locked up and not using. I just don't do it. But the minute I get out, I'm right back to it. I don't know. I guess I've just, like I said, all the emotions I've never dealt with, never felt because I've always numbed them with the drugs, that when I do get out, or it just, all that stuff comes right back to me, and that's the only way I've ever learned how to handle it. It's not really handling it, but, you know, it's dealing with it at the moment.
Change for anyone is a difficult process, putting off the old self in exchange for a new and hopefully improved self. But why does change seem so hard, so difficult to get in front of? So many attempts, but so many failures. Detox, rehab, treatment centers, always reaching yet never grasping that elusive recovery from addiction, or getting at the underlying causes that usually prompts use in the first place, a torment itself.
when I do use it, it's only for a real short period of time, maybe a week, 2 weeks. Then I'm right back into a detox. I'll usually put myself into a detox or into a halfway house, an altar house, a treatment center. I've been in several mental institutions because of suicide attempts. But a lot of times I do go to AA and NA. It does really help. But I can only manage to do any of that for maybe 30 days. And then something triggers me and I go back to using. And as soon as I use, I'm on the rampage again for a week, 2 weeks, till I end up stealing from somebody or hurting somebody emotionally. That I'll end up putting myself back into a detox, or I'll end up going to jail for breaking the law. Burglaries, it's always been burglaries or thefts.
What are you trying to cover up with your drug use?
I think a lot of it's guilt and shame. You know, I do have a daughter. She's 17 now, and I've never been there for her. And when I get sober, I want to be there for her, but so many times have I burned that bridge. You know, I mean, I'll get sober and try to get back into her life, or my mom's life, or my brother's life, and then I'll screw it up by using again. Because as soon as I use, you know, I'll hurt them again, or, you know, they see that I'm using, they don't want nothing to do with me. So a lot of guilt and shame. And I've always been, well, I said I was a loner, so I've always been afraid of talking with people. I'm doing a lot better now, but, you know, a couple years ago, I wouldn't even have a conversation with you, let alone a girl, you know. And I've always had this really deep-seated fear of rejection. I was always really afraid to talk to people and to the female person, female women, and you know, I used to go to bars when I was younger and say, well, I'm going to go to the bar and meet somebody, right? Well, I'll have a couple beers, and then the whole night I'm depressed, you know, because, well, for one, I broke my sobriety, because that's what usually happens. I'll get clean, and then I'll say, well, this is the only place I ever met women at. So I'd go to the bars, and as soon as I drink a couple beers, I'll start feeling really guilty, and I usually end up using drugs that night. And it's just all over again. But I just... a lot of fear about what other people thought about me, and low self-esteem, and all that stuff, you know, I've never dealt with before. I just always covered it up by using the drugs. You know.
When you're in prison, how do you cope?
Usually when I'm locked up, I just do everything I can to learn everything I can, whether any type of educational material, or I do a lot of reading, novels, and how I cope, you know, just, I don't know, I just don't seem to have any problems, well, with the drugs or anything, you know, but when I first came back this time, you know, they had put me on some antidepressants and whatnot, and I think they helped for a while. But after a year of that, I decided to go take myself off of them. And since then, I haven't really felt any depression. So I'm thinking, you know, time is working for me, because, you know, I've got a little over 2 years clean now. And I've got about 6 years left. So hopefully within this next 6 years, I'll be able to learn to deal with my problems and learn to deal with my emotions. And so when I get out there, I won't have to run from them.
Some things that you are learning specifically now that is helping in your addiction?
Well, I mean, right now I'm working on anger issues. We're working through an anger workbook in the program that I'm in, and that, and let's see, just I'm learning to talk to people more. I'm learning to be able to open up and listening to other people as well, which I used to never do very well. I used to be occupied with other things when someone's trying to speak with me or teach me something, and now I'm able to look at that person and hear what they have to say instead of going off on something else. I'm trying to think of like what I'm going to do today or what I'm going to want to do tomorrow or something like that. Went through a few mental health classes while I was here, since I've been here. I do a lot of reading. I mean, I do meditations in the mornings, and do a lot of reading, a lot of different issues that I, like I have a few books that on self-esteem, books on worry, you know, not how learning how not to worry about everything. And those seem to help a lot.
While we are a Christian-oriented program whose teachings are centered on the life of Christ, everyone enrolled is not a Christian, nor are they required to be one. The only real requirement is that the individual be open to change, to a life radically different from the one that landed them into prison originally. Of course, change is not something that comes easy, for if it was, we'd all be, well, change, whatever that change might look like for you or for me. I asked him, has he ever reached out to a higher power for help in overcoming his addictions?
I have a lot in the past because that's one of the main things in the 12 steps, AA's, like reaching out for a higher power. Right now, I'm not really sure where I'm at. I'm kind of on a fence. I'm not been practicing and seeing Buddhism, and I've been back and forth throughout the years to several different religions, and I just really haven't found my path yet, but I'm still searching.
Why didn't you join the program?
Better myself. I mean, I know by being in this program before, when I was the first time in the prison, I was in the program and successfully completed it, went to work, released, did all that, and from that experience I know that there's a lot I can get out of it, not only the computer skills that I'm being taught, but life lessons, there's a lot of good people that come in here to teach us, volunteer wise, and just having them come in here and them being an example of what good Christians are, I suppose. Them being an example of what I could be if I stayed off drugs and alcohol, you know. You know, they're happy, and that's my ultimate goal, is to learn to be happy and not so much content, but just to never stop growing.
This particular point in your life, who would you say that you are?
That's something I've been searching for myself, because like I said, I started doing drugs at the very early age, and my identity has been in the drugs. You know, I don't know who I am. I don't think I know myself very well. I mean, like I said, my identity is in drugs, and I have a lot to learn about myself. You know, it's always been said that, you know, you can't love anyone else until you love yourself, and I'm still learning to love myself. You know, I've hated myself for a long time. So, but first and foremost, I've got to work on myself and love myself, and then maybe I can share that with other people.
How does it make you feel that volunteers show an interest in you?
Well, it's great. I mean, it's just don't get that type of interaction in the prison, you know. And when you do, it's just something you don't want to let go of. People coming in here, you know, they're not getting paid for this. I mean, they're spending their time, and it's valuable, you know. And it's just, I just hope that when I get on the streets that I can give back to what I've been given. Just the love that they're showing us by just coming here and teaching is a lot.
accountability, the providing of moral support, the holding of another responsible for their negative thoughts and actions is one of the major components of the Brothers in Blue Reentry Program. Each member, upon 6 months from their release, is equipped with a mentor to assist the inmate in their transition from prison to society. The building of these relationships helps significantly in the reduction of crime post-release. It also helps just to have someone to talk to in times of need. Is that something you can take with you when you leave from here? Accountability, I asked.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I know before I'm released, if I don't have a support group set up out there, I will fail. I've always failed when I'm released from places because I try to go on my own way. I mean, I think I have it licked. I think I can do it on my own, and there just ain't no possible way you can do it on your own. You have to have a support group. Someone there, like you said, to be hold you accountable. And that's another great thing about NA and AA and whatnot is they will hold you accountable. And if you really want it, you can get it. But I guess I've never really wanted it. You know?
If this program wasn't here, what do you think you'd be doing with your time in prison?
I'll probably take the college courses and work in Midway's job, maybe. I don't know what I did before the program for the last year and a half. Not a lot. I mean, I read a lot. Other than that, there wasn't really a lot going on. You know, I did try to get involved with AA, but there's too many people and it's really distracting. I did some mental health classes on anger issues and stuff like that, but those come to an end. So other than that, or really isn't that going on.
What are your classes like in the program?
I like them. Our first hour, we do anger management. The second hour, we do thinking for a change. And that's really good. It helps me recognize what my thoughts are so that maybe I can think before I act, you know. And our third hour usually consists of Bible survey and then a computer lab every other day. And the computer skills are very important, I think, you know, especially in the society today that's ran by computers. If we don't have those skills, it's going to be really hard for us to be released from here and find a good job, a job, period, you know, if we don't have any type of computer skills. We do have night courses, night classes, three nights a week. Then there's Alpha class, which teaches you how to be a disciple of God, which I struggle with. Maybe I'll have a change of heart before the program's up, but right now, like I said, I'm on the fence on that issue.
Where would you like to see yourself after prison?
Post-release? Well, I haven't really thought about it, because, you know, I've done this several times before, but you know, I really, you know, staying clean and sober is the priority number one. So whatever I can do to stay away from the drugs and alcohol by the time, well, when I'm released, is something I have to do. I haven't really thought about jobs or anything like that because I've always had good jobs and doing construction. I mean, I can always go back to that. But hopefully within these next year, 6 years, I've got some courses I'd like to take on maybe some alcohol and drug treatment counseling. I'm really interested in that, I know. And really don't know. I'm still thinking about it.
As I said, not every story has a happy ending. Not every story is neatly wrapped up where we can feel good about ourselves, about life in general. But happiness isn't the point, is it? Happiness is fleeting, here now, and gone in an instant. Rather, life is about helping one another reach our potential, reaching our God purpose, so that we can be good neighbors to each other. That's sustaining. There is hope yet for this man, this brother in blue. For Brothers in Blue Reentry Program attempts to turn men around in the direction they should go. a direction that leads to changed thinking, changed behavior, and ultimately, changed lives. We reach men while they're still incarcerated, in the rock-bottom state of mind, and set them on the right track. In this program, many lives are impacted by relationships built with mentors and volunteers that come into the prison, speaking wisdom, hope, and guidance into the minds and hearts of the men in the program. So what's the connection to you, Brothers in Blue Reentry? Because what happens in prison matters. It matters that change must happen. And we need your help to ensure that it does. Thank you for listening to Real Voices. Please tune in next week.